All right, let's get rolling here. So those of you guys that have dialed in, welcome to Sherman Connect. I know a lot of people kind of download these things and listen to them in the cars after the fact. So if you're listening to it after the fact, welcome as well. My name is Dr. Shane Walker. I am on the Board of Trustees at Sherman College, and I practice in Naples, Florida. And our guest speaker today is Dr. Jeremy Hess. Jeremy and his wife Amanda practice in Stockbridge, Georgia, and he is the founder of AMPT, which is not only a cool word, but also an acronym, correct?
Yes, that's Jeremy? Correct. Yes, I'm okay. Here. That's correct. Advanced Mentorship okay. Program for Entrepreneurial Development.
Beautiful.
It actually means something, too.
What's that?
I said it actually means something, too.
Isn't that cool? It works better that way, right?
Absolutely.
Very good. So, you know, Jeremy's a co-founder of AMP, big practice in Georgia, and a whole slew of other things on his bio. But the Hesses also have put together a series of books called Designed by God, members of International Chiropractic Pediatric Association, IFCO, ICA members. The list goes on and on, but these guys are just really involved, have been very successful, and thankfully are giving back to the profession, not just of their resources, but their time as well. So, Jeremy, thank you, and thanks for coming on, brother.
Absolutely. Thanks, Shane, for having me.
So, it's an honor. So, Jeremy, the topic today is good to great. So, talk to us a little bit about that concept and how it applies and how dangerous it is to chiropractors.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for having on. It's great to be on Sherman Calls, and I'm excited about tonight. And yeah, man, good to great. That's what it's all about. It's really, we were talking before, Shane, and that's not only practice, but life in general. And we were just watching the kids. Watching the kids over the weekend with my son was playing soccer, and, you know, he just has a pretty good knack at it, at least for now. And it's all about practicing, and he continues to practice and is really passionate about it and loves to just get out there and get with the guys and the boys. And there's actually some girls on his team still, which are phenomenal female players that are on his team. But, you know, it's practice, and he loves it. He's passionate about it. He's committed to it. And Amanda and I were talking about how that's just so much like the practice. You know, now – in chiropractic, there's a little bit of a theme about kind of, you know, doing chiropractic, but also, you know, trying to start other businesses and doing all these different things, and that's okay. But really, for myself, I'm still currently 4 days in the office, even though we have AMPT and we're charging full with that. But you know, the truth is that with chiropractic, you know, there's absolutely nothing more beautiful than a chiropractic practice, you know, whether it's a doc in there or a husband and wife team, like myself and my wife were for years, and just seeing volumes of people. There's really not a better place that I know of that you can be. And, you know, for many years, it was, 900, 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, even up to 1,500 people. A wonderful team. We, had up to 12 team members. We currently have, I think it's 10, and we're still doing it in a big way, and simply because it is about good to great, and it really never stops. Right now in our practice, a lot of my team members have been with us for 8 to 12 years, and we were having a conversation because I'm in my mid-40s, and many of my team are 45 to 65, and we were talking the other day about how things are always changing, you know. John Maxwell has a great quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he says either you change is optional. What did I say? I'm thinking of it now. It basically says change is optional. Things are always evolving.
Yeah.
You know, things are going to evolve, but change is optional. And, you know, as we age, really any age, but really even now is in 40s and the practice as well, and, you know, 18 years in practice, it's like, man, I just want to cruise and just continue to do what we're doing. But, you know, currently we're changing up a lot of the marketing. I know, Shane, you said you want to talk about some of those things, about what marketing might be working now for opening practices. But, you know, we're diving into some social media stuff, which was non-existent when we opened practice, both of us. Was really even non-existent probably even 5 or 6 years ago to the chiropractor, maybe even 3 or 4 years ago. But now, you know, so it's like, man, I really don't want to dive into all the social media stuff. But the truth is, as I told our team, is we have to change. We have to be relevant. We have to do outreach for chiropractic to where people are at, you know. Sure, yeah. there may still be health screenings. There may still be, you know, the dinners, which we're doing. You know, we're even doing some different types of dinners now called benefit dinners. Again, so good to great is all about being absolutely consistent. You know, people might say to me, man, what have you and Amanda done? What have you done, Jeremy? Honestly, nothing that special, in my opinion, other than being just terribly disciplined and consistent. And yeah. There's a great book called Pound the Stone that I read last year. And he also wrote Chop Wood, Carry Water. If you never read any of Joshua Medcalf stuff, his stuff is just unbelievable. His name's Joshua Medcalf, M-E-D-C-A-L-F. And really my favorite book of 2017 was Chop Wood, Carry Water. If some of the people are listening to me or listening to this recorded, Chop Wood, Carry Water is a must read. I love it. But he has another book called Pound the Stone. And it's so true, man. It's just pounding the stone. You know, day in and day out with the team, with in the community, chiropractic, training ourselves, you know, being better, not settling for mediocre, or honestly, even once you get to some level of success, success in itself can be poisonous because you get complacent. You know, so you have to be careful. Many people in any business, but we're talking about chiropractic, is we get some level of success and it becomes poison because we start to ride on that, you know. And, you know, that complacency will hit us pretty hard if we're not careful. So, again, good to great is all about being consistent, you know, keep training, you know, moving forward, being relevant, looking what the new trends are, and just continually being around your team and having your team on the mission. And also when the success comes, it's saying, hey, you know, we had success yesterday, but yesterday's success isn't going to make us successful today. What made us great yesterday isn't going to make us great today. And I love John Maxwell has a rule called his 24-hour rule. Another great book. We're actually reading it with our team right now. If you're looking for a good team book to read, we read typically 2 books a year with our team members. Great one we read in the past is called Fred Factor. If you're starting out and you're like, oh, wow, that's a great idea. I want to read a book with my team. A good one to start with is called Fred Factor. Great, great, great book. I don't know if you've ever read it, Shane. But right now we're reading one called No Limits by John Maxwell. And it's basically all about capacity. So whether you feel like you're at a lower level in practice, you want to go bigger, or if you feel like you're pretty big and you want to sustain and keep on going, you know, capacity is key, you know, all different types of capacity. Anyway, he talks about this, but one thing he has talked about in one of the chapters is, and I love it, it's so true, especially for, you know, whether you're a student, you've had some success as a student, whether you open a practice, you've had some success there, or you know, you're like me, you're 15 plus years in and you wanna stay relevant in your community, you wanna continue to practice for another 25 or 30 years. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, nowadays it seems like and maybe it's just me, Shane. You can say no. As Michael Viscarelli calls me, Hesse. You can say, "Hey, Hesse, you're in your head about this." Or you can say, "No, maybe you know there's something to it." It just seems like now it's like, man, I'm going to retire when I'm 40. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like there's that you know kind of get rich quick. You know, I don't know, man. Sometimes right. I see that, and it seems like I see a little bit of chiropractic, like, yep. And I'm all about like 10xing. I'm all about like going bigger and better. But you know. But not everybody wants to do that. You know, I really believe that, you know, and myself too, there's nothing wrong with just having an awesome practice and family life and that balance there and the harmony of it all. And that's a great place to be. And I feel like I see a lot of circles in chiropractic, there's a lot of pressure or a image that, you know, there's got to be more than just the chiropractic practice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, listen, you're touching on, you know, it's one of those, I would say at this point, it's just a baby elephant in the room. It's going to become a major elephant. But in the profession, that you're right. I mean, you, there's this thing where, okay, I'm going to get out of practice and I'm going to do something virtual, or I'm going to stay in practice, but I got to get my side hustle on too. And, you know, what's happened is we've got some people that have gotten out of practice and are doing other things, whether it's something virtual or it's they want to get into just doing online weight loss, or they get into coaching even, you know, or whatever it is. And we're in a situation now where we're just starting to see, and I'm not going to name names, but we've got people now fighting, scraping, trying to get back into practice.
Yeah.
After trying to get their side hustle on, and they realize, wait a minute, this wasn't that bad of a life bending over tables all day long. It really wasn't, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad that I'm just not imagining things. And again, I think it's a small thing, but you know, and as you said, AMP stands for Advanced Mentorship Program for Entrepreneur Development. And entrepreneurial is really, as a chiropractor, you're a business owner, so you're an entrepreneur. And being an entrepreneur, being a chiropractor, you know, you have to go continue to be good to great, you know. And by the way, it's a great book. If you've never read Jim Collins' book, Good to Great,
that's really
his concept. And it's a fabulous book, and all about getting the right people on the bus and your team, and putting your team members in the right position and all that kind of good stuff. So it's a great book. If you haven't read that, probably many of you have, but it's worth a revisit too if it's been a while. But so I don't want to go off on that juncture. I just wanted that to be said that, you know, one of my greatest mentors, he's still in practice, is Dr. Robert Shiffman. And, you know, one of the things I love about Dr. Shiffman is that, I mean, he just, you know, still to this day, everything I know about him is that, and for years when I was very, very close to him, and he's charging forward in practice, you know, seeing just hundreds and hundreds of people a day. And it's a beautiful place to be. And the truth is that, you know, chiropractic done right, correctly, is a very profitable business. The margins are huge. One of the things we teach when we go around these, and you probably know Facebook, we call it the launch program, Shane.
Yeah.
We've got our chiropractic college. And really, one of my favorite parts of it is showing students that the profit margin in a chiropractic practice are almost like unlike any other business. I mean, you put us up against, I mean, you know, just you got to put us up against something. So let's say against a Subway, or against, you know, let's say someone's opening a Subway franchise, or someone opening a plumbing shop, or, you know, chiropractic in the margins, because if you see 100 people a week, you know, maybe that's break even, right? But if you can transfer that to 200 or 300 people a week, you know, your expenses don't change. You know, if you have a Subway, you got to buy more meat. You got, you know, your perishable. I mean, you know, as you sell more subs, you know, your expenses grow. You know, as you have more plumbing jobs, you got to buy more equipment and more supplies. But with chiropractic, the beauty is that, you know, when you start seeing a little more volume, you start serving more people, you literally, your expenses don't change. Maybe by 3 to 5%, but your profit margin, man, it just blows up. So, you know, if we're really looking at this from a business perspective, which, I mean, that comes second, because we know that, you know, Zig Ziglar says, one of my favorite quotes of Zig Ziglar is, you know, you can get everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want in life. Meaning, if you serve people, you don't have to worry about where your monetary things are going to come for you, lifestyle things are going to come from, where you're going to, you know, are you going to have the money to send your kids to the school you want to go to, or take the vacation, or have the house? That's all going to come easily if you just start serving people to chiropractic. So, and I think that, you know, we need to remember that just as a broad stroke in a profession, that nothing builds wealth, at least in our sphere of things, assuming we're talking that DCs and doctors or chiropractic have degrees, nothing builds wealth like a phenomenally built, well-run chiropractic practice. And Shane, I know you know this. You've been running an awesome chiropractic practice and practices for years, so you know this. But, you know, so the kids, the students and those graduating need to know that. And so when they see things out there on the sidelines, because, you know, we all see it, social media is so easy to paint pictures about our highlight reels and everybody doing amazing things, you know, even like you said, outside of chiropractic. But we need to be careful that we don't get lured into that, because chiropractic, you know, we walk around my house, you know, like you, a house, a pool, vacations. It's like, chiropractic built this, you know, and we built it by serving people, and we're still serving people. You know, I was in the practice all day today, and, you know, now we have associate because, you know, I have AMP, so, but for many years, we didn't have associates. It's just me and Amanda, and I love that, and I love it now, too. I love our associates, but I'm still there, and I'm still adjusting people from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. today. And I know you are too, bud. So, that's what I wanted to send the message tonight. And I don't know if you have questions or if you guys even take questions live, but I just want to say that you can be good to great in chiropractic. You can do it. And, you know, my advice is to find a system, just like you find a technique that you love. You're going to have that main technique, maybe have one or two others that are kind of secondary or tertiary techniques where if your main technique kind of, you can't clear someone out, you're going to depend on it. But, you know, you're going to find a technique that you love, and you're going to adjust people with it, and you're going to have a technique so you can rule out variables and you can know what's working and you can document it. And so you can see how you adjust as one person, you know, the person from one visit to another, and you can see how they're removing interference and how they're getting better. And the same thing in practice, you know, obviously, you know, I'm biased because of AMP, and I believe AMP has, you know, just phenomenal systems and procedures and a community to build yourself around. But if it's not AMP, I'd say get plugged in with the community that you love and that is solid with systems and procedures to help you learn how to serve people in your community that you want to get to, so you too can not only serve people but also have the lifestyle to go along with it. And that's totally possible in a chiropractic practice. In our practice and the practices we teach, it's very simple. We serve people, and we bill for three things. We bill for x-rays, we bill for assessments, and we bill for adjustments. It's not complicated at all. You know, assessments, a.k.a. Evaluations, whatever you want to call them, adjustments and x-rays. Those three things, that's all we bill for, and whether it's insurance or people paying cash. And we do it big, and it's very simple and very precise and excellent, and that's the way we like to roll, and that's the way that works. So that's what I would highly recommend anybody listening tonight, is to get plugged in with a group of people that you love and you want to do life with.
Yeah, agreed. You know, and you had touched on something too, Jeremy, where, well, let me phrase it this way. I was on a phone call with a friend that I graduated from Sherman with around the same time, and he said to me, geez, Shane, we've been at this thing for, you know, 17 years now, 16 years maybe for him. And he's like, at what point does it just go on cruise control? I mean, you would think after 17 years, it would just go on cruise control. And I just laughed at him. I said, listen, man, I said, the only way you cruise is downhill, buddy. And, you know, the reality is you've got to, whether you like it or not, we have to keep the pedal to the metal. I mean, and I told him, I said, look at Starbucks or Coke. I mean, here are two businesses that have cultural authority. Right or wrong, everybody thinks you're supposed to drink Coke at Starbucks, right? And
totally.
So everybody loves them, trusts them. Everybody's been familiar with the product forever. And look at how much they promote and market. So if they've got to keep the pedal to the metal, imagine what chiropractors have to do.
Oh, totally. You know, I love my church. We go to an awesome church here in Southside Atlanta, Turning Point Church. And the reason that I love my church so much is because, and the reason I've, you know, been there for 8 years now, is because of their outreach. And our church does an amazing job. And you know, if you follow Andy Stanley or some of these larger churches, the reason they don't change the doctrine, but they keep repackaging it in a relevant, fresh manner. And again, that's what I believe AMP has done a great job at, is where our doctrine hasn't changed, man. It's principled chiropractic. You know, we remove subluxation, remove interference, we teach people, we educate, and, you know, hopefully they hit the button and they refer, you know, so it's like the cycle keeps going, you know, onboard, educate, adjust, refer, onboard, educate, adjust, and refer, you know. So, but, you know, my churchmen, they do a phenomenal job at outreach in the community, and obviously their mission is to bring people to Christ. So, and they keep growing and growing. So, you know, whether it's our churches that do it, like you said, you mentioned like a Starbucks, and then they're constantly rebranding, they're constantly changing, you know, they're constantly, you know, and sometimes it's so subtle. You know, if you know, for example, if you know about a Starbucks, they actually, funny, they bought Teavana, I think it was like maybe 5 or 6 years, it was a crazy thing. They bought Teavana for like $600-700 million like 6 years ago, and they just, if you read it, they just like got rid of it. You know, they're just, I tried to go to Teavana in my local mall. I was like, what the heck is closed? And I looked it up. I was like, oh my gosh, they're just getting rid of all the Teavanas, you know? Now I think they're keeping it like in grocery stores, but you know, they tried something, it didn't work, you know, and they're changing.
And you've
done it. So, and the funny thing is with your buddy, cause we all feel the same way, man. We have a little pity party and it's like, oh man, you know, what, I gotta keep changing. I just want to put it on cruise control. And again, that success can be poisoned because that's complacency and comfort, right? But the truth is that, you know, it's the same thing we tell our practice members, right? We tell them, hey, time repetition, got corrective care first. We're going to get to the point where you're better, and then we're going to talk about maintenance care. And, well, when does maintenance care end? It never ends. It's a lifetime. What? That we don't necessarily say it like that, but that's basically what the way we're educating them. We're using analogies, and eventually, you know, if you have some people, you know, because that kind of person, you can just slap them on the back and you can tell them straight up, it's for a lifetime, buddy. You're going to be seeing us forever. You know, so that's the same thing we tell our practice members. And yet it's hard for ourselves to understand is that that's the way practice is too. That it's continually changing. And the fun part is when you change, that helps fight boredom. And again, I'm talking to guys like me and you that are, you know, maybe 15, 20 or more years in, the challenge becomes fighting boredom. And fighting boredom, how do you do that? Well, what's that?
No, I'm just going, yep.
Yeah, yeah, so fighting boredom, how do you do that? Well, I mean, changing. You keep changing things. You know, you make, let's do this whole big social media thing, got new people coming in, different practice numbers, and, you know, we're going to do this different marketing thing, we're going to team. Hey, yeah, I don't know. Like sometimes as simple as stuff is doing different promotions or decorating the office, or you know what? Let's all get new scrubs. You know, let's do something crazy instead of doing normal scrubs. Let's all wear whatever some relevant cool jackets that you know we saw. I don't know. So it's changing things up. You know, and hey, you know what? I'm gonna wear jeans for a while in a practice, or you know, I would never wear jeans. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not wearing jeans for a while. I'm gonna buy these cool shoes and you know, not be like super casual, but just kind of casual out a little bit. Or I'm going to, you know, last summer we were like, I told Amanda, I'm wearing shorts. She's like, well, why are you wearing shorts at practice? Because it's July and I just want to wear shorts. I don't give a damn. You know? So I came in like for the team was like, well, can we wear shorts? I'm like, no, you know, but, no.
Well, listen, you're onto something really, really big there. I mean, it just hit me. I remember a number of years ago when Reggie Gold turned 80, we did a thing, the IFCO did a thing for him for his birthday up in Pennsylvania, and we went up there. We did a little seminar, and Reggie was there. And then afterwards, there was a little like a Reggie roast and some fun stuff. And then there was a Q&A, and somebody asked him, Reggie, there were so many years there where he was just traveling and speaking and not practice, but people forget he did practice for a long time. And he saw.
I'm sure over 30 years anyway, right?
Yeah, 3,000 people a week out of 580 square feet.
That hurts right there.
Yeah, but somebody asked him, and I'll never forget it. They said, Reggie, how did you continue to, you know, care for a large volume of people for so long and stay focused and interested in it? And his answer was exactly what you're alluding to. His answer was this. He said, I was constantly reinventing myself.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he made it clear that that didn't mean he was changing his objective.
Correct.
But he was constantly reinventing himself. And the way I took that was exactly what you just described, which was tweaking systems, procedures, approaches, cosmetics, whatever it is. And you got to do that. We've got to do that.
Yeah, totally. And I hate to go back to churches, but you know, there's a lot of, I don't know, you know, like when I look at my pastor and the church in general, there's a lot of similarities between a chiropractic practice and a church, you know. But, you know, most churches, 80% of churches are like on decline. And it's typically the traditional style of church. And if, you know, if someone goes to traditional style, I mean, there's nothing wrong with traditional style church. It's just that the culture is changing, that a traditional style church of, and you kind of probably can imagine, you know, some of the denominationals that haven't changed much in the last 50 years. You know, they're actually the membership's way down where you have churches that are like my church or like an Andy Stanley style or Passion City. I don't know where you're at. Well, you have those type of churches there too. I'm thinking Atlanta, you know, like Passion City Church and Andy Stanley and North Point, all that kind of stuff. You know, they're constantly like, it's very visual. It's very, appealing, you know, but the doctrine's the same. So you guys do the same thing in practice. You know, we can't expect to be on an island by ourselves. Like we don't have to change. We have to change. You know, we got to change. You know, I'm actually my logo. I have my Discover Chiropractic logo for office. I mean, it's like it's so outdated. You know, so I have like little people pick a picture of like a family on my logo. You know, but you can tell it's like from a Mac clip art kind of stuff from 1999. You know what I mean? Right. So I'm like, I get this design. I'm like, you know, so I'm like, don't change it. I don't want to like totally change it too much. You know, she's like, the people you have on there are like stick figures. I said, I know, you know, so she's like updating it all and everything, you know, and even like the red I have is kind of like a McDonald's red, you know, So she's like, you know, getting like a relevant type of red, you know, that kind of dumb stuff. But it's conversation I really want to have. But I'm like, Jeremy, I've got to have this conversation. It's like, you know, 18 years. I want to be another 18 years in, you know? So it's funny to have these conversations in my head, but also with other people, because it's true. So anyway,
well,
I know we're speaking probably.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, because you're talking about trends changing and staying relevant. So, you know, we had chiropractic for a long time where kind of the model was day one new patient, come back on the second visit for individual report, bill insurance, and then try to convert to a cash plan after. Then we got into, even long before you and I, then we got into, okay, group reports, maybe day one straight to the report, maybe day one to day two first adjustment, then a report, group report, rec and finance, bigger corrective plan. You know, what do you think the next evolution is?
Well, I think
it's going
to
change.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is, you know, we still teach and we still do a day one where, you know, now again, when I'm saying day one, we do a lot of things like they get a tour of the office. You know, we do consult. There's a lot of technology, so it's very heavy technology now. You know, from the office being, you know, if you look at pictures of, I mean, my office is great, but gosh, a lot of these offices that are opening up. I don't know who you follow, but in AMP Group, it's like these offices are unbelievable. I mean, it's just excellent. I mean, everything from the fixtures to the lighting to the flooring to the, you know what I mean? So it's very relevant in the design and style, and it's very high tech.
High tech, how? Other than EMR, digital screens, Titrons, you know, other than that.
Sure.
Wow. Well.
Sure. So yeah, totally. So, well, I think there's obviously they're having like flat screen TVs around different places in the office. You know, some are actually like showing chiropractic videos that are again up to date, and so there's
right.
those may have sound, but there's also a lot of people being flat screen different rooms with, you know, it's just like flipping through slides and whatnot. The bathrooms are like, you know, kind of a bathroom you might go to like a classier restaurant. You know, tile work, you know, some extras there. And, you know, in our office, we still do teach. And what we do at our office, we still do the day one where, so they're getting a tour of the office. They're getting the technology being shown off. Also the verbiage, you know, the verbiage is very value setting. It's setting value. It's setting relationship. And then we do, you know, an assessment, a consult, and you know, x-ray and whatnot. And we're a system where day two, they come back to the doctor's report. So we still do a group setting. So that's a good question. That's changing. And that's really working well for us in the practices that we teach. But I will say that it's very high tech though, in all aspects from, you know, like helping people utilize an app for, you know, we use SCED, which is an app for like scheduling, and you show them they can move their appointments around. They don't have to call the office anymore. They get on the app and they swap their appointments around. They can communicate with the office via text. You know, again, I said the fact that we're diving into social media marketing, and people, you know, being able to make appointments via that avenue. So some of the traditional phone calls, appointment setting, scheduling is becoming much more high tech. So, most industries are doing that now. So it's kind of like we have to, otherwise eventually we become outdated. So that's kind of the status with that. But again, but you know, with all the high technology, we still have the touch, you know, and we're still high on education, whether it's during the day one process or through the adjustments and the visits and how we handle that. So, but you know, that still is the beauty of chiropractic. It still is a very educational aspect, and we still have people, you know, the same things that happen when it comes to chiropractic. You know, we had the old last Tuesday night, our doctor's report, you know, the mother was crying, and it's like, what's going on? Well, she's crying because her son's 10 years old, and no one ever told her that, you know, she's been to 18 different doctors in the last 6 years, and no one ever told her to try, you know, that whole story. So, so the fun part is that amongst all the change that we've had, the beauty is that it's still chiropractic, and we still get the same result, and, you know, still get people to commit and to go long-term as possible, so.
Yeah. So, hey, you mind getting into a little bit of Amita practice here for a second?
No, let's do it, man. Get into whatever you want, man. I'm going to open book.
Yeah, let's get into some meat. So we do, I think a lot of us, especially within the Sherman circles, a lot of us are, I think the majority of people probably are doing group reports, or at least I hope they are. But so we still do group reports. Talk to me about your perspective on a day one straight to the report versus having a day two in between the report. Because I know that a lot of people like to have a first adjustment in between so they can discuss the findings verbally and give a validation for why we're asking you to come back with your spouse versus, oh, we just took an X-ray, come back with your spouse. So give me your rundown on that, how you viewed.
Yeah, so one of the things we do is you know, we're obviously building a lot of value in that first visit. We do not teach. So I'm going to explain what we do, but I'll just preface it with, we do not teach to do an adjustment before the report in a general sense. Now, you know, obviously if someone, you know, the footnote is what, if someone's acute or someone's in an auto wreck or something, well, sure, you know, that 2 or 3% or whatever it might be in your practice, it's probably 2 or 3% or so in our practice, you know, an auto accident or acute or something. Well, yeah, they may get 2 or 3 adjustments before they come to the port because they can't even sit down, you know what I mean? But in a general sense, you know, 97, 98% of people, what they're doing is, you know, they're coming the first visit and they come back to the port the second visit. And one of the keys to that is really prefacing it correctly. When you're in the day one and you're closing people, we close people for the report before we close them for X-rays. And the key there is that, you know, because most people probably close, and I did for years, and we probably, I don't know if it was by default or we just said, hey, let's change this and see what happens. I kind of forget now, but I think it was about seven, 8 years ago we switched. And we were actually, you know, the idea was, okay, great, let's get them committed to X-rays at whatever, $150, $200, and then we'll tell them all about the doctor's report. And the problem with that is that, you know, anybody in pain or problematic or, you know, they're like, okay, I get it, doctor's office, let me go ahead and get these X-rays. I knew that was coming. Okay, I'll pay for them. And then it's like, so now they're committed to the X-rays, and then you tell them all about the doctor's report, and then they're not, let's say you have a certain percentage that aren't going to commit to the doctor's report, they start pushing back. So now it's like, oh, crap, wait a second. I've gotten committed to X-rays, but they don't want to get educated. Now what do I do with this person, you know? And then you'd have like, the whole, you know, crap show about, you know, whatever, you know, how that goes. So we just said, hey, so one of the aspects of this working properly, Shane, is that you've got to get him committed to the doctor's report first before you get him committed to the X-rays. And that way you weed out those people who really aren't right for the practice. And when you build value around the doctor's report and why they should be coming, why they should bring a spouse and all that kind of thing, it really goes well.
What does that conversation look like a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, you step it out. You know, we did our tour and then we do our consultation. And then we're going to do, you know, during the back end of the consultation, our tour is pretty exhaustive. Our tour in our office to probably take 6 or 7 minutes. So we cover, instead of doing a straight up day one, in like after the consult, like a straight up day one after consult would be more like, you know, really like spending 5 or 6 minutes and explaining chiropractic to them. So we've kind of broken that up. So we put some of that in our tour. You know, we have some like blown up ANS charts and different things through the tour that kind of prefaces some of our day one process of education. So they're getting the tour, then they're moving into a private room with a consult, and you know, we use the substations in there. And then we do an abridged day one where we're at least going to get the spine and we're going to, you know, do some visual and some kinesthetic and show them where the cause of the problem is. And then we're going to move into the assessment, right? You know, whatever your assessment is, and we use a substation and palpation, those type of things, and posture and whatnot in our assessment process. And then we're going to, once we do the assessment, we're showing them, you know, where their nerve interference is at, what we're finding, and that they're, you know, desperately need chiropractic care, they're a candidate for chiropractic care, that type of terminology. And then we're talking about your next appointment in the practice is really your most important visit. And we really start explaining the doctor's report. And the doctor's report, you know, what it is, Mrs. Smith, is that it's a 90-minute appointment where we're going to go over health and healing God's way. We're going to talk about all your diagnostic findings. We're going to be talking about your care recommendations and how we're going to get to the cause of your problem. We're going to be going over everything from A to Z about your health and healing and how we're going to be able to help you. And, you know, I see that you have two kids here, 5 and 8, no worries. Make sure you bring them with, because we actually have free babysitting while you're in the doctor's report, so your husband can join you. I see your husband, Tom, here. You want to make sure that he's here with you. And, we could put the kids, we'll take care of them so you guys can focus and you guys can know exactly what's going on with your spinal condition and your health and how we can get you corrected. So would you like to come to that Tuesday at 7 or Wednesday at 1? Which of those times works better for you, evening time, or do you prefer more of an afternoon time? So that's how we get them committed to the doctor's report. And then once they commit to that, then we're going to, move into the x-rays and, you need, XYZ x-rays and they're going to cost XYZ, that kind of thing. So, and then we'll take the x-rays the first visit. And, then we're, the doctor's report, we close them in the day one process about the doctor's report. In the x-ray room, the x-ray tech is going to, again, comment about the doctor's report, right? That's number two.
Yep.
Then when they go up to the front desk, they're checking out, all that kind of stuff, the appointment, the front desk person, the team member up there is going to, again, number three time, going to remind about the doctor's report and his most important visit of practice. Right, and the number four time is that the doctor is going to give a call back, possibly that night or the next day, thanking them for being at the practice. Thank you for trusting us with your health. We're excited that you're here, Mrs. Smith. We're looking forward to seeing you, Tuesday at 7 or Wednesday at 1, whatever they chose. The doctor's for, I see Tom is your husband. Said hurry because we're making notes on a sheet. The team all has one sheet they're making notes on, so it flows through the whole system. The doctor calling back, oh, I see Tom, he's coming to the doctor, we're so excited that you're going to be here and he'll be able to see your findings with you and go over all this together and you guys can make the best decision. And so that's number four time. Number five time is they'll get a text or email reminder about the appointment. And then number six time they're going to hear about it is the team member will also call them back confirming that doctor. So they're going to get at least five, sometimes if they came in hypothetically, Tuesday night and they're coming back Wednesday at 1 o'clock, they may not get all six communication, but in most cases they'll get between four and six communications about the doctor's report and all about it. So, we're trying to build that value and trying to get that as high as possible. So we have obviously as much, fruit of that return on that, doctor's report. So yeah, that's the goal. And then,
good.
Our majority of, the deployments, they commit to care and we get their first adjustment.
Good deal. Now, how do you deal with, for example, let's say somebody comes in on a Wednesday for day one, and then they're going to come back the following Tuesday, let's say, for their report, for the group report. You're looking at a week there, and what we've all read about closing the sales cycle. How do you hedge against that problem?
Yeah, that's a good question. Most people that see us, I know that we all talk about the students, what do you do when someone's acute? What do you do in this kind of thing? But, sometimes people think they're acute, but they've had the problem for 2 years. It's like the migraines are horrible, but they've had the problem for 2 years or 7 years or 10 years. So it's kind of like that's the conversation. It's like, you've had this problem for 6 years and it's been coming and going, headaches, and you have the digestive problem aside, and that's just a conversation that's going to be, I think that people see that. The goal is not necessarily the goal, but a side effect of the educational process. Is that people, and the tour helps with this. Because the tour, you see people, coming and going quickly. You see the adjustments happening. You're looking in the adjusting rooms. You're getting this perception. You probably have the same thing. Very, very few people in our practice make it to me on the second visit after the first day one and that whole process and the doctor's report. They rarely, rarely make it into the adjusting room. And are they like, oh, wow, is that it? It's like just like 2 minutes? I thought this was like a session. When you heard the word session, I'm like, oh God, kill me.
Yeah.
It's like kill me. It's like, how did they get through this whole process and think that there's a 60 minutes? This happens like twice a year. They don't necessarily say 60 minutes, but they're like, oh, I just, or they'll drop out of care. It's like you call me, hey, just check it up. You had like two adjusts, things. What? Just wanted to get some feedback. Oh, I thought it was like sessions. I'm like, where the hell did they get this thing that is a session? The whole reason. It's like people are plotting and buzzing over here. Going, it's so funny that people say that. So the goal is that people through the process will see that it's an efficient process. People are signing their cards. They're getting called back. They're happy. It's an upbeat practice. It's not busy, yet it's urgent. So they kind of get the idea that this care, is efficient. And, people, again, I'm talking about such big exceptions. Yeah, maybe, 3, 4, 5 times a year, people will be sitting out in the reception area and they'll look around and they'll just drop their clipboard on the counter and they'll be gone. You know, they realize this isn't the type of product they want to be in, which is perfectly fine. You know, and then once or twice a year, someone on the back end, which is very rare, it's always surprised when just one or two people get through, you know, because we see, like, you see hundreds of new ones a year, but it's like, I thought this was a session or something. I'm like, where the heck did they come up with that? But so, you know, I think that that process works of them getting adjusted a second visit without actually getting adjusted before they commit. It's just part of the process. You know, I think it's just like if you were to, you know, I don't know, in dentistry terms, I think dentistry analogies are so beneficial for practice members. Right. You know, I always teach our team, whenever you're in a jam, a dentistry analogy is just so, and there's so many things with dentistry that people, dentistry profession has done a great job educating people. Let's face it, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're probably about the same age. You remember back when we were, I'm born in 74, so you're born what? When you born in the 70s, mid-70s or so?
73, yep.
Yeah. So you remember, I remember, you know, we were kids, the dentistry profession was really trying to educate on plaque. And you remember those, like, red tablets we used to chew? We used to have kids chew those red tablets. And younger people, like, if you're under, like, 30 on the phone, you're like, what are they talking about? Well, you know, they used to have these tablets. I don't think they use it anymore. I think they did it for, like, 5-10 years, and they educated the public, at least those people who cared enough. You know, you chew the red tablets, and all of a sudden you open your mouth, and the plaque would show up, like, bright red. You know, the parent, the mothers would be like, oh, my God, he's got plaque everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they did such a great job. And really, that's what the subluxation station or whatever technology you're using, that's the goal of it, the technology. One of the main goals is to show people and also parents when their kids get checked, it's like, man, they got red there. You know, and any mother that has common sense, whether they get the child started then or not, and I always tell the team and say, hey, look, after doctor's report, we want to get all the kids checked, you know, which is the beauty of having babysitting, you know, because then everybody brings their families. And obviously after doctor's report, it's like, duh, you should get your family checked. And so we're pushing to get the families checked. Obviously, some families are like, oh, we're totally getting the kids checked. And then some families are like, oh, you know, we do kind of need to check this out a little bit, whether there's a trust factor still or there's a financial factor. Regardless, we do a complimentary, you know, nerve check, nerve assessment at night. Because if we get that nerve assessment and the mother sees that there's red in their child's spine, which typically there's going to be some type of interference on most levels, on most kids, you know, some that don't, but most do. I mean, heck, you know, that's gonna ingrain in their mind that their child potentially has a problem. And sooner or later, we're believing that they're gonna come in, and we're you know, faithful to that, and that's what we're walking expectation. So you know, that's the process. And go ahead, say.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say you've mentioned texting several times. You know, we've gone to text systems for some of our interactions with the patients. Not all, but a lot. And a lot of doctors have not started utilizing texting. So talk to me about, can you talk about what system you use and how you've implemented
it? Yeah, totally. Yeah, we use SKED, S-K-E-D. You can check it out. I think it's sked.life, L-I-F-E. But, you know, the texting, if you know the stats, and you know yourself and myself. Now, I personally am probably over the top. I was in a conversation a couple weeks ago with a buddy of mine, and he's like, we were talking about some email thing. I don't really open all my emails. I'm like, I open all my emails. Me personally, and if you know, unless I straight up know it's spam or something, but like I open all my emails, and if it's trash, I delete it. No big deal, you know. So, but the truth is, the general public, they say that I don't know what the latest stat is. If you send an email blast out, I think it's, you know, a good email blast. Let's say you send to 1,000 practice members, good would be 18 to 21% open.
Yeah.
You know, so let's say 20% would be like, wow, that's pretty good email. We better use that subject line again or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of times if you check your stats, it's like 13 or 18%, you know, like anything over 20 is like, wow, that was amazing. So, but texts, they say 98% of texts are opened, right? And you know how it is, like text is like right there. It's like notification. I can't get away from the darn things, you know? So, you know, texting is a fabulous way to communicate with practice members because it's much quicker. It's right there. They don't have to dig into the email. So yeah, texting is great. We use SKED. I recommend
it. So let me ask you this. So I'm gonna ask you different points of contact with patients, and you tell me text, phone call, or both. Okay. So like day one confirmation.
Day one, we phone. So yeah. So okay. I can give. Go ahead. Keep going. Phone and text.
Yeah. So phone and text.
Oh,
okay.
When I say
so
text because people have the option with our technology. They have the option to do text and email or text or they can do both or.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Got it. Got it. Okay, so confirming the report.
So, yeah, we have what we call special coded, and you know, we use platinum. You may too, I forget. But
yeah.
we use special, and we love platinum, by the way. It's awesome. I know there's a lot of, and everybody be like, oh, I can't believe I'm talking about this, but there's a lot of sexier softwares out there, but platinum's a beast. And if you're looking for software and you wanna see high volume, platinum's where it's at. But anyway, just a little pledge or something.
Plug.
For platinum there.
Yeah.
Plug for platinum. That's it. But listen, so we have what we call special coded calls. And so the challenge with technology, I believe, because I warn the new practices, is there's technology, but there's just something about still using the phone. So I'm not at all advocating like throw the phone away, because much as we use technology, we still do a lot of calls. So what we do is we have our special coded. Special coded are things like new practice member appointment. So special coded, we actually still call and confirm. Just straight up appointments, we don't. We do not call straight up adjustment appointments. So if we have 200 people on the schedule that have adjustments, we're not calling into them. They're getting like reminders via text or email, right?
Now let me ask you this. If you get somebody on a 40 visit care plan, they're coming three times a week, twice a week, once a week. Are they getting texts before each appointment?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what about when they miss? They get phone calls when they miss, right?
Yeah. So that's the danger, of my opinion, the danger of the technology. Because the technology works good, but, some people, as you know, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to call it a 50-50. 50% of the people about in the practice, they're planned out, they can handle like multiple appointments, they kind of have a schedule, they're pretty good with organization, and the other 50% are kind of like not. So we have to kind of coach them. The truth is they're coming to us for their health goals and their health needs, and we're playing doctor's office, and our team is playing, essentially our team and ourselves are playing coach, and we're coaching them along the process of them being committed to their health. So part of the process of being committed is actually making the appointments. So yes, I don't know where you stand, but you probably stand with me on this, is even though they do get a text or email reminder and, hey, you missed your appointment, text or email, we still call our missed appointments. And I would highly recommend any practice do that, especially newer practices, because, your default, if you're like 28 right now or you're 27 years old, you're like, oh, technology is going to run the world. And it does, but there's something about some people, as good as technology is, they just can't keep their act together when it comes to appointments.
Yeah.
It's a small percentage. Let's say it's 30%. Well, 30% of people is a lot of people in your practice. If you're seeing 100 people a day or 50 people a day, 30% is a pretty good portion. So we still do call them. Now, thankfully, because of the text and email, many of them can go on the app and change it around, and that takes care of a big portion of it, but there still is a percentage that we call. So we do call the special coded. Again, special coded, we call new practice member appointments. We call doctor's report. We call reevaluation appointments. We call our progress report findings when they're recommitted to care a year or so later. And missing one. I forget because I don't call them, but I know they talk about it. We train on this, especially.
Yeah.
So we do call the important high point calls. So those are important. So part of just training and going over it.
Team. Very good. Yeah. Listen, I think this conversation is great because again, we could sit on here and talk about esoteric philosophical concepts and practice and these sorts of things, but very rarely in these types of calls do we get into meat like this. So I know it's not terribly exciting stuff, but it's the stuff that people flat out, they're just not doing it, and they're not doing it right. You know, so this is a really this is a valuable conversation for a lot of people. So I appreciate it.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this, and I know that, I'll keep on going a little bit here. I guess. My wife's like, "Really gonna be on now?" So I figured we have an hour. We got another. I'm good to go as long as you need, man. I'll stay up and hammer.
Yeah,
I don't know if people want to ask questions. I'm gonna take some questions or whatever. But I'll say this. After, I think it comes. Here's some common things you get. It's like, I get these. Amanda gets a lot of these because she gets a lot of the docs texting her Facebook, and it's like, how do you handle your team making mistakes? I'm like, it's human nature to make mistakes. And they're going to make mistakes, and you're going to make less mistakes because it's your money. So when it's your money, you make less mistakes, right? Or hardly at all. But when it's and our team is so awesome. Don't get me wrong, but people make mistakes, so you're going to keep correcting mistakes. And it's like, man, how long do I got to keep training people? Forever. It's like our team. Like I said, team members. Most six, seven of my team members have been with us for 8 or more years, bro. And we're we train. It's like we go this vicious cycle of training. We just train on phones, man. We just train on the phone verbiage, and we just train on reevaluations, and we just so we constantly keep training because the truth is that, like BJ said, slipping and checking.
Yep.
You know, so we're all gonna keep slipping. It's just like going to the gym. Why do we keep working out? Why do we keep trying to eat right? Why do I keep trying to juice? Why do I keep trying to take supplements? Why do I keep trying to keep my marriage intact? You know what I mean? I keep loving my wife and try to do date nights. It's the same darn thing. So the practice and routine is no different. So when myself or yourself or your buddy says, man, I'm kind of bored. I just got to – when does it ever go cruise control? The honest truth is it doesn't. It never goes cruise control. Yeah. Unless you're just going to – you know, I'm just going to let the practice take a nosedive, and it will eventually start to take a nosedive. So it's called erosion. It's called erosion.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, listen, man, all good stuff. And like you said, we could go on all night. I mean, it just never ends, the areas that need attention. But we'll wrap it up, and we appreciate your time. And thank Amanda for me for letting us steal you for a few minutes. But before we wrap things up, too, I do want to just bring to light. Many of you are aware of what's going on at Sherman. Sherman, and again, I'm coming from the place of a student. You know, I graduated in 2000 and have been involved on some level, whether it's a regent. I know, Jeremy, you guys are regents, and in my situation, being on the board. But I've been on any variable levels. I've been involved in the college for almost over 20 years as a student and beyond. And this place is literally, I'll tell you, it's just exploding. Sherman, even being a smaller school comparably for a lot of years, the amazing thing about Sherman, and this may really impress a lot of you over the years, a debt-free campus, okay? 100% debt-free campus for years. And then, of course, the school in the last few years, with the change in leadership and all the things that have gone on, has almost tripled. So we're in the middle of now a major construction process that really is going to turn this thing from a very, very deep philosophical school to a deep philosophical school with an amazing facility. You got to see it. So this coming Lyceum, 2018 Lyceum, which is May 3rd through 5th, the theme is Constructing the Future. So we're going to have an opportunity to see the new buildings in the middle of construction. But Lyceum is going to be going on as usual. So if you're somebody who, you've listened to this call, you've listened to what Jeremy has said on a number of different points about staying relevant, continuing to revolutionize the practice, training, getting up to speed on technology, tweaking procedures, all these different things. All of us need that, and Lyceum is a great place to be there because I'm counting now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, there's 21. I mean, there's over roughly 30 speakers, and what's so great about that is you're going to find what you need to find in an event with 30 speakers. And then, of course, for those of you that need it's up to 23 hours of continuing education. So just want to encourage you, if you've been to Lyceum in the past, maybe it's been a while, come back. Come see what's going on at Sherman. Get some credits done. And the great thing is you get to get some credits done in a very congruent model, which is great. And just be a part of the family. Sherman College family is an amazing thing. And so those of you that are already involved, your regents, president circle, board members, alumni, whatever that is, thank you. Because what's happening at Sherman is happening because of so many years of alumni and friends and family of Sherman taking responsibility for the profession. And so it's a really special place if you don't already know that. Jeremy, again, thank you for being on, my friend.
It's awesome, man. I'm going to give a shout out if you want to get connected with us. We actually have a AMP conference coming up in April, in about 3 weeks, April 2021, I think it is. St. Louis.
Let me take a look here. Where's the calendar? Make sure that's right.
Yeah,
April 21st is a Saturday. Is it a Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. So
Friday, Saturday, Sunday in St. Louis, April 20, 21st, and 22nd, right?
Yep. Yeah, you go to ampnow.com/event, ampnow.com/event. It's a free conference. I would love to see you guys there and get plugged in, and that's going to be awesome. What's that?
And that's a big deal, because one of the things that you mentioned earlier on in the call is, you know, getting plugged into a group that you can be stimulated and grow in. And that is going to be different for everybody, but what a great model to be able to visit for free and make sure that you're in the right place, right?
Yeah, and we're out there because we're in St. Louis because of Logan and Cleveland and Palmer Davenport. We try to stay near the students to get the students plugged in. That's where we're at. Once these students graduate successfully and open practices that are serving and profitable, to give back to chiropractic and things we all love.
Awesome.
It's all about. Appreciate
all
you.
Right,
hey,
Jeremy.
Thanks, man. Thanks for being on. Thanks for having me on. And I love the fact that you're doing big and in practice and encouraging others. Thanks, bud, for doing everything you do.
Thanks for your time tonight, my friend. All the best.
All right, bud. Thanks.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye, everybody.